It's good to be here, I hope you can hear me. I don't know, I'm not sure if this mic is quite working or not, whatever, I may want to turn. I know he was looking at it earlier, but I have a tendency to get loud, so to help keep you awake. Because we're gonna watch the campfire and stay awake and have no problems whatsoever. But we'll sit here because we've got heavy stomachs of pizza and spaghetti, and we're gonna fall asleep in church. Never in my life, man. I've only been saved 12 years, and I'll tell you what, man. I've never seen people sleep so much in church in my life. Well, anyway, I'm just going to give a little short testimony. My name is Dale Morey from Liberty Behind Bars Prison Ministry. My beautiful wife, Amy. We got Brother Ronnie Scholten from Liberty Behind Bars Ministry. His wife, Amy, is not sitting next to him. But we are a jail and prison ministry. And why did you get in the jail and prison ministry? Well, because I got saved out of that life.
Amen.
I was raised by an abusive mother who was a drug addict and alcoholic herself. I was molested by a man for many years. I was molested by a woman even after that. And that bred hatred and bitterness in my heart. But those things didn't make me who I was. I already had a sin nature, and that was fuel added to a fire that was already inside of me called that sin nature. And hatred and bitterness became my best friends. And I found this out that when I went out there and hurt people, it gave me relief. But I found out something, brother. When I was a little boy, I had a conscience. I wasn't born without a conscience.
Amen.
But the more sin and the more drugs and the more things that I've done, I realized that in order for me to be a convict, in order for me to be an inmate, I had to learn how to put those things away.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to learn how to build walls up so I can go out there. People often ask me, how can those men and women go out there and do those things? Because they're not functioning on your conscience.
That's right.
They're not functioning on how you think. You look at them and you go, oh my goodness, how can a person ever do that? Because they've seared their conscience by doing it over and over. And they lose natural affection towards other human beings. This is why abortion is so huge amongst criminals. They've lost the feeling towards the babies. But I tell you what, when Jesus Christ touches their heart, He forgives them for that.
Amen.
Right. But I'll tell you, they carry that for the rest of their lives.
Amen.
I work with them. And so, as we learn how to shut that conscience off, as we learn how to see that, we become farther and farther away from human beings. We're in our own world. We function on our own thoughts. It's called survival mode. We live second by second and moment by moment. And so living that lifestyle, of course, I start getting into criminal activity. And criminal activity got more and more violent, and my drugs got harder and harder. And I spent more times in jails, more times in prisons. I had somebody ask me earlier, was it hard for you to transition into jail and prison? No, it was very easy for me because the boys' homes already taught me how to be a convict. I can't even imagine what it's like today. As a young boy putting up in Father Baker home out there in Buffalo, New York, as a young boy, I was already fighting so men, these little boys weren't raping me. You ever had to fight for that? It's what I had to live with. Day in and day out, those are the things that came at me. And so I learned how to fight very quickly. And I like to find out that I like to fight. And that's why I have hate and Dale on my knuckles. Why? So you know why I did it, and so you know who knocked you out.
Amen.
That became my life. Then I needed a way to get a fix. So I started doing armed robberies. Violent armed robberies. And in three different states, I did state jail and prison time in three different states. I spent many years in mental hospitals. I spent many years in drug rehab. I spent many years in AA and NA. Let me tell you something. How much do you think that helped me? The problem was, brother, my heart was the same. You see, it takes a change of a heart to change a person.
Amen.
It's not simply just putting them in a program and saying, be a good little boy and go and do that. Or be a good little girl and go ahead and do that. That's not. It's a change of heart that changes somebody's life. And only Jesus can do that. get out of all that stuff, and when I tell them the answer, it blows their mind.
Yeah.
How did you get out of it? Jesus.
Amen.
A King James Bible and church.
Amen.
How about that for a simple answer?
How about
that? How about that I didn't need all that other nonsense that never did anything for me?
Amen.
Could you imagine Brother Ronnie somebody thinking that we're still in recovery?
Yeah, come on, man. That's what
I'm recovered, E.D., because Jesus Christ said he made me a new creature.
Right.
He took those old things out of my life and gave me a new life.
Amen.
My goodness, is he not powerful enough to do that? What happened to that belief?
Amen.
Well, I'm not here to glorify my past life. A couple years ago, the Lord showed me that I was trying to steal his glory. You know what he says? He'll share his glory with no man.
That's right.
Amen.
And he had to arrest my heart. I'm still a young Christian in this myself. You're talking about getting nervous. I wasn't a public speaker. It's not like I went out there being a criminal in public speaking.
Yeah.
But the Lord got into my heart and put a fire in me. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I preached to everything and everybody. Well, if an aunt walked in front of me, I would have preached to him. Why? Because of where he brought me from.
Amen.
You see, brother, I realize where God brought me from.
That's right.
I recognize where God brought me from. I remember where God brought me from.
Amen.
And he deserves the glory and honor for what he's done in a man's life. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. If God doesn't know what he's doing with these messages, because my message goes right along with yours.
Yeah,
that's it.
I turned around to Pastor Fenton. I said, God gave me a message here tonight. And you got up here and started preaching what you preach. How about singing Hallelujah now?
Yeah.
Why don't we start before we get to heaven? Why do we gotta wait till we get there?
Yes,
let's just start getting, let's just stand up and shout. Hey, that'll help get that spaghetti and pizza out of you. You stand up and just give God the glory.
Amen.
Thank you for what you, hey, thank you, because it's a Friday night at 8:15.
That's right.
You know what that means? I will be tying one on about this
right.
Morning.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking and sniffing and everything else. But you know what?
Yeah.
The church. There's many places we could be. We could be dead and in hell. We could be homeless out there in the streets. We could have a needle in our arm on a street corner. But God in his mercy had to sit in the house of God tonight. Well, God called me to a jail prison ministry. He said, man, you would fit right in there. I wasn't looking for it. I was Joan. I was running. I didn't want to go back to jail prison. Spent enough of my life in those places. I don't need to go back in. Old couple just kept bothering me. I said, man, you guys are a real thing. You're bothering me. Why don't you leave me alone? And they kept going, and they said, just come give your testimony one time in the jail. I said, well, I don't want to go back into the jails. I don't want to go back into those places that were a nightmare to me. You know, coming out of a gang, and you know, I always had that on my mind all the time. If I go back in there being an ex-gang member and somebody realizes me when I left that. By the way, I don't hide. I'm all over the place out there.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of stuff out there. I'm not afraid of them. So I want you to know that right now. What are they going to do? Put me in heaven?
Yeah.
I'll preach to them while they're doing it, brother.
Amen.
If I die doing what God called me to do, is there any better reason to die?
That's right.
So finally, they bothered me enough that I finally said, okay, I'll go in. And I went in to give my testimony. I went in a few times, and man, that first time that gate closed behind me after all those years, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the voice came over us. And I was just, a calm came over me.
Amen.
And I went in there, I just did what God wanted me to do. I gave my testimony. I left there. I went, man, it wasn't that bad. The next thing you know, they said, hey, some more of those men and women would love for you to come back. I said, oh, no. Brother, the fourth time, April of 2016, I will never forget. April of 2016, walking down after I got out of the services in that jail. And I'm crying, and the deputy is looking at me. And I just raised my hand in front of them all and said, well, I'll go.
Amen.
I understand. Come on, we go. You just open the doors and we'll go.
Amen.
And I've been in the jails and prisons ever since. And I, you know, there's no other place I'd rather be. I tell people now, I beg God to put me into the jails on this side. Why? You have a people in this church? God gave you a people, didn't he? The men and women that are in jail and prison are my people.
Amen.
Do you understand that? I'm not there because of what they've done criminally. They belong there.
Right.
I don't advocate for them that where they belong in the house. I don't advocate. I don't go in there and go, oh, you poor boys and girls, you really shouldn't be. I don't go in there doing that. But what I do is I go in there and preach Jesus Christ to them that they might not have to come back. But let me just say this, oh good church people. God doesn't put levels on sin. Your sin is just as defiled as theirs.
Amen.
It took the same blood and same you as them.
Amen.
Did not Jesus Christ die for the world?
That's right.
Amen. Say it again.
Amen. We have a hard time with jail and convicts. I get it. They're not the friendliest people in the world. But my goodness, Jesus Christ went on a cross for them. He paid the penalty for them.
Amen.
Amen.
And I have a heart for them. And when they hurt, brother, I hurt. My ministry doesn't stop. It's 7 days a week. You ask my wife, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up doing ministry work. Why? Because now they can email me. They can do video visits with me. And those men need ministry. They need praying. They need Jesus Christ. I can tell you the hundreds of letters that I get saying, I don't know this salvation. I don't know what Jesus Christ is. So what do I just go, oh, well, I'll deal with you later. Shame. But that's how people handle ministry. That's how they handle that, brother. Who hands out tracts? Don't just raise your hand out of pride. Just really, honestly, if you hand out a tract, you get what, 3 to 5 minutes with those people?
Yeah, not much.
I get years and sometimes decades with them.
Yeah.
To show them what? What Jesus Christ can do to somebody like that.
Right.
You see, Jesus Christ took me out of there.
Yeah.
I got saved and he put me back in with my people.
Yeah.
Why? To show them Christ. And that's what I want to preach on for a few minutes here. The constraining love of Christ. The constraining, you know what that word constrain means? To grip.
Yeah.
To hold on. To force. To make a movement. You understand this? When Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, you can't help but do what he wants you to.
Amen.
If you have a problem doing what Jesus Christ wants you to, you might want to check who you have for Jesus.
Amen.
Yep. You may have the wrong Jesus.
Uh-oh.
All people hate hearing that in church.
Yep.
Here we go with that stuff again.
Come on.
Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Let's get into the Word of God. That's the most important thing, is the Word of God. But you know what? I tell my testimony not to glorify who I was, but to glorify through Jesus Christ making me to be the man that I am today. For making me into who he wants me to be. I don't come in to please anybody else, do I, Pastor Fenn?
No,
I do not. Do I, Brother Don? Do I come in here and try? No, I do not. I come here to please Jesus Christ and to preach what he would have me to preach.
Amen.
And you know what? You can't go wrong when you preach out of a King James Bible.
Amen.
That, of course, if you keep it where it needs to be. I love that you're teaching on that. One of my favorite things to do is word studies. That's how I study my Bible. Not in lexicons and commentaries and dictionaries. I don't do that. Can the Holy Ghost of God teach us or not? That's what we have to come to.
Yes.
The problem is putting in the time to study it.
Yeah.
God said, did God just say do a devotional every day and call it quits? He says study. Just show yourself approved unto who?
God.
Why? Because you're going to show yourself how serious you are to God when you study. Because studying means that you have to make time to do it. You'll never find time to study. You have to make time to study.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's outside of your devotions. I'm going to do a little, 15-minute devotion, and man, that's it. My goodness, study that Bible. I guarantee you'll be blessed. But look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And I want you to know that ETH or TH on the end of that word in the King James Bible means it's something that continues to happen. His love don't just constrain us one time and leave us.
Yeah.
It grabs a hold of us and it forces us and it moves us and in a good way by the love of Christ. Why? Because you can shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, what the world? You don't sound like a bunch of saved people in here to me tonight. You sound dead. Wake up. We're going to go out to a bonfire and sit till 1 o'clock. You need to stand up because I'm scared it's too heavy to do it. Just kidding. If you've never been constrained by the love of Christ, you'll never understand this message. If the love of Christ has never driven you to do something beyond your capacity.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Standing up here is beyond my capacity. There's only one thing that can make a man do that, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His love that has constrained me, has gripped me. Hey, I'm just going to tell you this. Love to me is a strange thing. As a convict, there's not much love between convicts. My mother didn't have a love. Why? Because she was abused. She was sexually molested by her father. Then she hated my dad. And guess who got the wrath?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then you have men sexually molesting me. Oh, you think it turned out pretty? Is this what everybody thinks? That just one day convicts get up and go, well, I think I'll go be a criminal. I think I'll just become a drug addict. I think I'm just going to go out there and live my life. No, let me just tell you something. There's something that drives people to that.
Amen.
When you're looking at them and you're judging them, you have no clue what they've been through.
Amen.
That's all we do is judge people. My goodness, judge yourself. Why? Because where's it going to start? In the house of God?
Yeah. Amen.
Better watch yourself instead of judging others.
Good point.
And that one out there lost with the purple hair and the earrings all through her face and everything else, we just look and laugh at them. Well, there's no hope for them. God forbid. How are you going to answer to a holy God for that?
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Preach to them. They need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't know what's going on in people's lives. So you say that Jesus Christ, love has constrained you, then it ought to make you go out there and want to tell people. Because he says if there's a hope in you, you'll want to tell. Why don't you want people to have that same hope that you do?
Come on.
That don't drive you enough to go out there to see that poor person in the condition they're in?
Right.
Do you remember your condition?
Come on.
Or have you easily forgotten the condition that you were in? I know I don't easily forget that after 12
right.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you believe in the constraining love of Christ, it'll cause you to be saved, number one. If you believe in the constraining love of Christ, it'll drive you to the cross.
Amen.
It'll drive you to the one who not only can save your soul from an eternity in hell, but it can give you an abundant life, Jesus Christ said, here on earth.
Amen.
I love hearing messages about heaven. And man, when you were describing the glory, it was just in my head, and I was just like, oh my good, how awesome is that going to be to see the glory of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
But do you know we can live in that today?
Come on,
earth?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
We can have that in this life. God has given me a piece of heaven with my wife and my children in a ministry. He's given me an abundant life. He showed me just a glimpse of what his glory could be. Take a man from the lowest. Take a man from the gutter. Take an alcoholic, an addict, a person who had hate tattooed across their knuckles, because that's what drove me. And drive me to the cross in love.
Yeah.
And constrain me. Something finally got a hold of me that I wanted it to have a hold on me. I wanted it to make me to do things. I desired for the love of Christ to drive me to what he wanted. If you don't desire that, there's a problem. So many Christians have become dead Christians. We sit in the pew, man, it looks wonderful. To who? Other Christians?
Help us,
Lord, help us. You guys, most of you have heard me preach before. Here, I'm going to ask you my famous question. How many people this week had somebody come knock on your door and want what you have spiritually? Because they seen something in you. Well, how did you know I'm a pastor? How did you know I'm a preacher? I've had people come up. Why? Because of the way you talk to the cashier. Yep. Because she has pentagrams in her ear, somebody's afraid to talk to her. She wants you to talk to her.
That's right.
She needs you to talk to her.
That's right. Amen.
But we're so afraid. Do you know, maybe if you talk to her, somebody three or four people back in the line have heard that.
That's right.
Amen.
Do you know love will drive you to do that? The love of Christ will drive you to do it. The love of Christ will tell you to ask your waitress, hey, what can I pray for you?
That's right.
You know what that does? It opens up a personal talk with them because you really care about what's going on in their life. Isn't that right? You've experienced it. I had a preacher down in Virginia teach me that, teach me and my wife. He said, dude, when you're at a table or when you're at a grocery store, he does, that person that's waiting on you, just ask them, what can I pray for you on today?
Amen.
Bam. It opens up a conversation unbelievable.
Yes, it does.
Brother, it's driven people, ladies, to get up, my wife, and hug my wife crying because they're having such a miserable day. They would bring the worst food ever out to us. And anybody who knows me knows if you ever go out to dinner with me and they do that, you say a word, I'm going to come upside your head. I mean that with all my heart. Do not say nothing to that waitress because you do not know what's going on in her life.
Amen.
You do not know what's going on in his life. What we do is we ask them as Christians, is there something I can pray for you on? And then I open that conversation. But if it doesn't, thank them for the food that they brought out and leave them the biggest tip you can ever leave with your little track.
Amen.
That'll make a difference, oh Christian. Why? Because you remember the time when you were in that position? Do you remember the time you were without Christ? Do you remember the time you just wished somebody cared about you?
Amen.
Or have we forgotten that because we're such a goody-two-shoe? Boy, I tell you, if you start thinking about that, that'll drive you to want to get to people.
Amen.
We've lost our drive to want to get to people. Why? We've become comfortable here behind the walls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know inmates become comfortable behind the walls, too?
Yeah.
But it don't do them any good.
Yeah.
Well, his love for us has a compelling effect on our soul. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, what a verse that was to me when I was a lost person, just knowing that Jesus Christ himself, as I think that I'm being so diligent in seeking him, he's actually been seeking me. What happens when a person really seeks is this. Jesus Christ is already seeking. He said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. What happens if a person is really seeking? They meet.
Yeah.
If you're really seeking Jesus Christ for salvation, you'll bump into him because he's already seeking you.
Amen.
What a comfort. Hey, that's a love. Because I tell you what, when I was out there on the streets, when I was in jail and prison, nobody was seeking me. I didn't even have my parents' phone numbers. I can't tell you the last time outside of coming home from prison and being my wife that I had a Thanksgiving or a Christmas. But all the while, Jesus Christ was seeking me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, I'm just telling you now, if you can't praise God for that, if you can't say hallelujah for that, there's something wrong inside of you. Well, I didn't live that way where my parents didn't want blah, 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 blah. You still needed Jesus Christ to save us. And he saved you. You know what the book of Psalms says? Let me turn there. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse. One verse. I think it's Psalm 103. Let me just find it. Here it is. Ready? Bless the Lord, all my soul, David. Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Isn't that what you're talking about? We ought to bless God. Why? Because there's some things we ought to be blessing him for. When did you get up early enough to bless God? So, man, you sleep in over God. God didn't sleep over you.
Amen.
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 Well, I got to get up and work early. Good. Get up earlier with God.
Amen.
And praise Him and thank Him that He gave you another day.
Yeah.
Bless Him. Here's David being chased, ready to be killed by his family, hiding all over the place, and he says, bless God. You can't do it.
Amen.
People don't want to bless God anymore, brother.
Right.
You were sitting up here talking about blessing God and hallelujah, and I heard maybe four or five people say amen. That just shows me the heart of the church.
Amen.
That shows me the ones that are sitting in the pews here, brother.
Amen.
You show your own heart. You're like convicts thinking you can hide how you really feel, but you can't. You expose yourself.
Amen.
Bless God, he said. And he didn't say, I just bless him with my mouth. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Not some of what is within me, but everything that is inside of me, bless him.
Amen.
Why? Because of what he's done for you.
Amen.
Because where he's brought you from. Because of where you're going. Bless his name.
Amen.
Bless him.
Amen.
With all my soul, he says.
Amen.
Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know why people can't see God's benefits? Because the world's got their benefits in front of their eyes. We forget about where God has brought us from. Because the world's benefits are here instead of God's. David's going to remind us of a few benefits. He says, forget who forgiveth us all thine iniquities.
Amen.
My goodness. Now look at, not just a drop, brother. Not just one. But all thine iniquities. And I'm just going to point something out here for those of you who like doing word studies. Iniquity and sin are two different things. They're even spelled differently.
Amen. Amen.
Iniquity. Inward. It's the inward rebelliousness in your heart. It's those things that you think that are against God. And then when you do those things, it becomes sin. God doesn't just forgive sin, but the very thoughts in our heart.
Right?
Hallelujah. I've had some bad thoughts in my life. I've had some cruel, sick thoughts in my life. And I'm sure glad that God forgave me of my iniquity.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad that he forgave me of my sins. And not just the drinking and drugging.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, it's not just the cursing and swearing. It's not just saving me out of jail.
Yeah, amen.
It's that iniquity inside of me.
Yeah.
That sin nature.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God that he came in and stepped inside of there and he forgave me for those things.
Amen.
Amen.
You may not have lived the life that I did outwardly, but surely you're just as guilty inwardly.
How about that?
Amen.
You can't look at
Amen.
Me with no eyes.
Right.
Yeah. Thinking you're holier than thou because you
right.
ain't.
Right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
What happens though?
Yes, right. Yes, it does.
It happens. I know some good little church people that look at you like, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Self-righteous.
You'll bust hell wide open.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Just to react with it. My wife, according to the world, was a good little church girl. She needed to be saved.
Amen.
I can tell you church people who grew up in church, and they thought they knew better. They thought they knew better than mom and dad. Two of them have been arrested for child sex charges. One is still on probation. One did 18 years in the penitentiary.
Right.
A pastor's son.
Yeah.
And I mean a good pastor.
Yes, sir.
Whom I love dearly. It wasn't his fault. He trained them the way they were supposed to. They wanted to go on their own because they thought they knew better.
Yeah.
But let me just tell you about a disease that's running rampant across Baptist churches. Brother Finn, Brother Sam, Don, I can start a ministry alone. Just working with Baptist children that are in jail and prison.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I don't even have to do. I'm talking outside of the normal jail people.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Baptist children we're marrying? Or burying, I mean? Why are we burying them?
Right.
Let me tell you this. I had one guy I was working with. He said this. And don't ask me why I'm going here, but I'm going. He told me this. I said, Carl, why won't you come back to church? What is stopping? And I worked with this man for years. And it breaks my heart. These people break my heart when they don't make it. It breaks my heart. I suffer when they suffer. I hurt when they hurt. And I said, Carl, why won't you come back to church? You know that's the answer to come off the drugs, man. You know that's the answer. You grew up in Sunday school. You grew up in church, man. You grew up in a good home. And his exact words were this. Because of my, what word am I looking for, Amy?
Hypocrisy.
Huh?
Hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of my parents.
Yeah.
They were one way at home and another way at church. Yeah. Oh, what a good way to damn your children.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Brother, he never got saved.
Yep.
He never got saved, and he has a mother who has to deal with that the rest of her life.
Right. That's right.
You know what happened through that? She ended up getting saved.
Amen.
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 40 years in a Baptist church, and she just got saved.
Yeah.
Why? Playing games. Why religion?
Right.
I've never in my life seen church people play religion so much in my life. Ever.
Come on now, preacher. Let's hear about it.
Ever. It's a disease, brother. You know why? Because the love of Christ has not constrained them.
That's it.
Not taking a grip on them, brother.
Wait.
I'm telling you now, you can tell when Christ has a grip on somebody. You can tell when his love means something to them. You can tell that what he done. Christians forget about what Christ went through to get you where you are.
Yeah.
Why don't we remember? We just want to remember the outcome. We want to remember heaven. But we don't remember what it took for him to get us there.
Amen.
We forget about that. We forget about what he went through for every single one of our souls. And shame on us.
Amen.
He's got benefits.
Yes, he does.
He's got benefits. And one of them is to forgive thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. That's not just talking about physical diseases. That's talking about the disease of the heart called the sin nature.
Amen.
When I got saved, he didn't take the hardware out of my neck and my back. I've had 16 neck and back surgeries. And by the way, I'm not on any pain pills either.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Well, how are you like that? Because he said he renewed me as the eagle, a youth of the eagle.
Amen.
He renewed my body. Do I hurt? I hurt like crazy. But what did Paul feel like without pain medicine?
Yeah.
If he can do it, why can't we?
Amen.
I'm not saying, I'm not against pain medicine. When it's needed, it's needed, okay? There's a proper use for it. But let me just say, and I mean that, I'm not against it. But I can't take it because I'm watching my people die from it.
Right.
And my conscience will not allow me to do that. Why? Because that's what they mean to me. God forbid if they ever heard I was taking a pain pill. And because of that, they don't come to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you know why, Brother Grimes? Because the love of Christ constrained me. It constrained me to do things beyond what I can do. Do you understand? When love, Christ's love gets a hold of you, he makes you do things that you normally could not do. But most of you don't live that way. You've never experienced it. Why? Because you're too afraid to let him bring you across that line. Too afraid to let him bring you where you need to be.
Amen.
Stop being such a coward.
Uh-oh.
We're tough everywhere else, Brother Jim. Well, we can take care of everybody. I can get underneath cars and I can get up there and build this and do that. Smash my hand with a hammer and everything else. But we can't let Jesus bring us across the line. Wonder why people are dropping off into hell quicker than we can help them.
Yeah.
We're in the end times, brother. Do you not agree with that? Man, it's a serious time.
Sure.
People are on the edge of hell more today than ever.
Yeah.
But we don't let love, the Christ's love, constrain us to get to them. We judge them.
Yeah.
We judge them.
Yes, we do.
And we leave them for themselves. Yeah. Why? Because we look at them like, man, there's no hope. Oh my gosh, do you remember the day you didn't have hope?
Yeah.
Amen.
You bet.
Do you remember that time, or don't you? Or did you never become hopeless in your life?
Uh-oh, come on.
Uh-oh.
I know when Christ brought me to the cross, I was absolutely hopeless.
That's right.
I knew that.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
Why? Because he gave me hope.
That's it.
He gave me hope, and I don't have hate tattooed on my knuckles anymore. And I hate tattoos, by the way. Just want you to know that.
Amen.
I don't agree with them. I think they're satanic.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Very good. I used to have hate tattooed on my knuckles. H-O-P-E.
Amen.
Why? Because I no longer have hatred.
Amen.
I have the hope of Christ.
Amen.
Good stuff.
Amen.
I have the hope of Christ because God's love came and it constrained me.
Amen.
And now he put me. Guess what? Going into the jails and prison is beyond me. It's something that God has done, not myself. Why? Because I allowed his love to constrain. When I realized the real love of Christ. Most of you are thinking that you have the love of Christ, and all you're holding on to is a human love.
Yeah.
You're trying to equate human love with a godly love.
That's
two different
right.
things.
Yeah.
Right.
They may not even understand what the constraining love of Christ is, because if they did, it would make them a little different.
Yeah.
The love of Christ makes you a different person.
Right.
When you realize the real love of Jesus Christ, it will make you a different person. You will do things differently than you normally do. Why do a lot of people just sit back in neutral after they say they get saved? Because they treat God with human love.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible through and through. Let's just look at the life of Paul. What did he do when he fell in love with Christ? Did he just sit there and cross his arms?
No.
How about John the Baptist?
Yeah.
He was so bold because he loved Christ that he went and got his head cut off.
Yeah.
How about any of us?
Amen.
Oh, mighty Christians here in America, we suffer so hard, don't we?
Oh.
What if some of the sufferings that we hear of our brothers and sisters across the water come here?
Yeah.
Oh, mighty, boy, I tell you what, brother, we're going to see a lot of people not sitting in the church anymore.
That's right.
We're going to see a lot of people that we thought, man, I thought that person was a Christian. There they are. Wives, they've never had the love of Christ constrain them.
Yeah.
It's never got a hold of them. It's never driven them.
Yeah.
Why do I do what I do? Because Christ drives me to do that with his love.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I understand his love for them.
Yeah.
I understand his love for others. Who am I, Jim, to go out there and judge somebody when I come from where I come from?
Yeah.
I can't. I just simply can't. 2 Corinthians 5:15, you don't have to go there. And let me finish this. 103 verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Oh, let me just tell you, church people who grew up in church, do you know God saved you out from that life?
Yes.
He spared you of that life. You didn't have to live that life of being a drug addict, an alcoholic, somebody who's been raping you, somebody who's molesting you, somebody who's trying to put drugs in you. You never had to live. He redeemed your life from it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
He redeemed us out of it, Brother Ronnie. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what's crazy?
Oh,
it's those who come out of life like me and Ronnie and you who celebrate Christ more than the church people.
Amen.
Because we realize what we are.
Yeah, that's right.
We realize how much love it took Christ to come down and reach in the bottom of the barrel and grab us. We realize that love. You go, no, you know, you don't think church people do?
Some,
but they don't live like it. You know those people that are out there with the NIVs and such? You know they live like they have the truth. We have the truth and live like we don't have it.
Oh.
Yeah.
99% of the time, they're the ones out there feeding people.
Right.
They're the ones out there giving clothing.
That's it.
They're the ones
That's
out there
true.
Trying to get people to come in.
Yeah.
Come and hear our Bible.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Mm.
Where are we at?
Come on.
Yeah.
Hasn't Christ's love constrained us to go to them? Go to the highways and the hedges? Or what are we just trying to? Who are we just trying to reach? The people that we're comfortable with? Did Jesus Christ, Paul, name anybody you want? They didn't just go reach the people they were comfortable with.
Right.
You think I go and reach the people I'm comfortable with?
Amen.
But it don't stop me. Why? Because the love of Christ constrains me to do so. What is the love of Christ constrained you to do so? What is it constrained you to do outside of your comfort zone? Do you know that God, Jesus Christ likes to take us out of our comfort zone?
Yeah, we know that.
My goodness, I thank God he don't leave me in my comfort zone.
Right.
I would get bored and hate it.
How about it?
That's right.
Pull me out. Teach me, Lord. Show me what I need to do. I've been saved almost 12 years. October will make 12 years of being saved. 12 years, my brother. Seems like every time. And in those 12 years, I tell you what, my backside's been torn from the Lord.
Yeah,
and I appreciate every minute of it.
Yeah,
why? Because
right.
He loves me enough to correct me.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
If you've corrected your children, you love them enough to correct them.
Right.
That's right.
And God loved me enough to correct me. And you know what? That love drives me.
Yeah.
I wish to God that my mother understood Christ and corrected me as a child.
Yes, sir.
I believe it would have helped me even after
absolutely.
Me going through what I went through. I believe correction and a mother, a godly mother, would have changed my life. But you know what? That's not what God's plan was for my life.
Amen.
I'm not mad at God for it.
No,
not one bit. Not anything that ever happened to me. You go, what if you see that man who was molested? I preach Jesus to him and hope he gets saved.
Amen.
I wouldn't hurt him. Jesus Christ died for that man. He needs Jesus.
Yeah.
You go, oh my God, that's crazy. No, it's the love of Christ that constrains me to do that.
Amen.
How about you? How about it? What in your life is stopping you from allowing the love of Christ to constrain you to do that? When I got saved, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Old and New Testament, by the way.
Right.
Brother, any preacher or pastor here, what stipulation did he put on the end of that?
None.
You know what God did to me when I got saved? Dale, you're going to go honor your mother. I said, Lord, there's no way I can honor such an evil woman as her. There's no way that I can love a woman like that and say, I loved you like that. I gave my life for you. Now what about her? I said, all right, Lord, you got to give me the strength to do it. You can ask my wife, you can ask my children. My mother's a hard woman. She's still an abuser. Did you learn how to honor her? I sure did. And guess what else I learned how to do? Love her. Something that I thought was impossible. God got me to the place where I can love her. Why? Because his love constrained me to do so. His love made me go out there and do that. And you know what? I'm enjoying loving my mother.
Amen.
As hard as she is. My mother still tells me, I could have flushed you down the toilet. You know, I could have took these pills and got rid of you. She's very cruel. And I can just look at her now and say, boy, Jesus loves you, ma. Boy, you want to see something? You want to see something roar up? I was preaching to my mom one time. Not like I'm preaching now. I was talking to her, and I had my daughter and my wife there. And I was just talking to my mother about Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I want my mom to be saved. I want her to be in heaven with me. Want her to be in heaven. My dad's already in hell. I said, I'm just talking to her about Jesus Christ and what he can do and how he can help her, forgive her, and how she can get past those things that she suffers with for so many years. My mom suffered for what her dad did to her. And people go, I can't imagine, I've been raped and you can get over that with Jesus. But you don't believe it. If people would believe again, God can heal it. Can he heal it or no?
Yes.
Can he or no? Because I'm telling you, we live in a day and age where Baptist people don't believe that Christ can do those things anymore. They hang on to that hatred in their head. Why? Because the love of Christ has not constrained them to want to do it. He didn't say you had to do it. He said be willing.
Amen.
Be willing to do it. I'm preaching to my mom, talking to her about Christ. And all of a sudden, her voice just went to a room. Her eyes closed. And my daughter started crying because she's seen my mom's countenance change. The devil's inside my mother. My wife just bowed her head crying. She's just praying as I'm trying to deal with my mother with them devils in her. ever face that? That's a reality, my friend.
It is.
That's a reality when you're dealing with people. I'm not talking about doing exercise. I wasn't doing no exercise. I was just preaching the gospel. And she just, her eyes blew like that. My daughter's busted out crying. Did you love her? Did you love such a woman? Has the love of Christ and what he's done for you constrained you and moved you enough to want to do that? What has the love of Christ constrained you to do in your life that you will not let go of? That's a reality. That's a question we ought to spiritually challenge ourselves with on almost a daily basis. Because you know why? There are going to be things in our life we're going to look at and go, there's no way I can get out of this. And I know there's a man who's sitting in jail right now who believes he's been wrongly accused. He's a friend of mine, and I deal with him. I said, well, let me tell you about Joseph.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Daniel.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John the Baptist. They went to prison. They went there knowingly, not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what did they do? Did they whine and cry and complain? No, they did not. They went along serving God.
That's right.
And that's what I told them. Go along and serve God. Why? Because you're in his will. Will his love constrain you to go that far? Oh, it's a challenge. I'm not standing up here like I'm some Superman. It's a challenge. It will spiritually challenge you. Amen. But is his love powerful enough in your life that you are willing to allow him to bring you to a place? Has it constrained you so much so that you're willing to go to that place and say, Lord, no matter where you want me to go, no matter what you want me to do, I am willing to do it. Brother, his love has constrained me because I've not known such love. I don't equate his love with human love because it's not the same.
Right.
Jesus Christ doesn't love me like my wife loves me. He loves me like God loves me. And oh, it's a wonderful love. And it's something I can shout out here that he loved me enough to go to that cross, to take those nails in his hand. Look at that, to take that crown on his head and let them stomp it on his head. To pull out his beard and let him beat him with a cat of nine tails. Me and you, would you let somebody walk up to you and spit in your face? That's what Jesus did for you.
Yeah. Amen.
His love constrained him to do that for you.
Right.
His love for you constrained him to go to a cross.
Amen.
His love constrained him to take everything that you ever thought and everything that you ever did on himself, according to Isaiah 53.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean to tell me that love can't move you?
Yeah.
Shame on us, Christians.
Right. Yeah.
Shame! Wonder why churches are closing, brother.
Amen.
If they really could see the love of Christ in us, it might be starting growing.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
That's a reality. I'm not giving you a challenge that's easy. And it's going to take the mercy and grace of God to be able to perform that in your life. But you need to stop and think of one thing. What did Christ do for me? What does his constraining love do for me?
Amen.
What did he become willing to do for me? All he says is this. Live as a living sacrifice. Give up your purpose in life and give it to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He didn't tell you you had to die for him, though that might happen.
That's right.
That might happen. That's just a reality. It may happen. People have died preaching Jesus Christ. But you know what's harder than dying for Jesus? Living for him.
Yeah.
But does his love constrain you enough to do that? Does his love constrain you enough to say, Lord, whatever boundaries I'm holding on to, whatever things that you think that I need to cross, whatever I need to change in my life, whatever it is that I need to face in my life, because I'm telling you, God has made me face some things. He's made me face some things that were so hard. I said, there's no way I'll ever get through that, God. No way. How can I ever come to that point? And God said, Dale, you're going to learn how to trust. You see, when we come to Christ, the Bible never tells us to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. It tells us to believe.
Right.
Go look it up. I promise you. I'll buy you dinner for a year if you can find me a place that says it. It tells you to believe. Go look in the book of John alone. 84 times he's talking about salvation. He's talking about, he says, believe.
Yeah.
Amen. Believe.
Amen.
Believe. God's trying to convince you through his word to believe. Guess what happens after salvation? We learn how to trust.
That's it.
How else can we learn how to trust if we're not willing to allow his love to constrain us when we think about what he's done for us?
Right.
What he's done for us, Mike. You know, because we all have secrets in our closets. We all have things that others don't know about. We have thoughts that come into our head that people don't know about, but Christ does.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And through all that, he said, I'm going to go hang on the cross for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my life for theirs. I'm going to shed my blood for that worthless convict. That's what the world, deemed me as, a worthless convict.
Yeah.
Brother Doug, you know what they wanted to do? They would have been happy to throw away the key. Just leave me there. Two things were about to happen to me, brother, before I ran into this man, Jesus Christ, and he changed me. Number one, I was going to die and burn in hell for eternity. Number two, I was going to go to prison for the rest of my life. There was nothing else, nothing. Brother Fenton, I reached that point where I became so violent and so addicted to hard drugs, there was no stopping me. But I believe Jesus Christ intervened. How? Because the one and only time that I started hearing about Jesus Christ is when I started going to institutions. The first time I ever heard about Jesus Christ outside of a curse word out of my mother's mouth, when I was in the boys' home, this man started telling me about Jesus. I said, what the? Who's Jesus? My granddaughter's 13 years old, Brother Fenn. I brought her on a 2-week trip to Maine. We were dealing with her. She came under conviction underneath the preacher. I said, Jay Lynn, I said, do you know this man, Jesus? She said, Grandma, I've never heard of him. She's 13 years old, and she's never heard of Jesus. Why? Because we allowed him to come out of the schools. We allowed him to come out of the government.
Yep.
We take him out of the church. That's where he's at, to lay him to see in church.
Yep.
And she's knocking on that door to get back in.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
So how are people going to hear about Jesus? The constraining love of Christ will drive us to a place that's out of our comfort zone. Why, brother? Because we now live according to his purpose. You said it, I believe. We look less and less like ourselves and more like Jesus. When we're walking in society, it's hard. You look at me and go, you wouldn't look at me and go, well, that's a Christian. But if they watch my conversation,
that's it.
If they watch how I act.
Right.
If somebody cuts me off and I get out of the car and start punching out the window, then how do you think that's going to go?
Yeah.
You know what I've learned? That God sent somebody across my path to cut me off.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Why? He wants to see how I'm reacting.
Yeah.
Am I right, Amy? You know what his love has constrained me to do? Change that. Why? How do I know God didn't send that person across for me to preach the gospel to him?
Amen.
And what if I mess that up? You see, I think things like that. Why? Because I worry about how I live my life according to Christ. I can care less what the world thinks. I want to please God. Why? Because he loved me. He loved me beyond anything. Let me just say this, and I'm going to close. His love is not a human love. His love won't hurt you.
Amen.
His love won't destroy you.
Yeah,
his love is a comfort.
Wonderful.
His love is a wonderful. There's no drug out there like his love. There's no life out there like his love for you. When you understand his love for you, there's nothing like it. There's no lifestyle out there like his love.
That's right.
Amen.
You get his love in your heart, man, and it'll push you into places you never thought.
Amen. Yeah.
Ever. But the problem is, because of our past hurts, we equate God's love with human love.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's how we treat them.
Yeah.
Help us.
Brother, after I got saved, for six months, I went through something very hard. What was that? I had to learn that God was my Father.
Yeah.
I didn't have a father in my life. But six times in the New Testament, Paul separates God and God the Father. Why? Because there are times that God deals with us, God. He deals with us, he's a lawmaker, he's holy, he's righteous, he's all that. But then there's times that God deals with us as a father. That's a whole different world. Most people, when they're going through something, only look at God for God. They never look and say, God, are you being a father right now? Because a father has to make hard decisions for their children. And the children look at them and go, Dad, why are you hurting me? And he says, I'm not hurting you. I'm doing this for the perfect love that I have for you. Take my hand and grab me. Ain't that wonderful? That God can teach me what a father is? And that I can grab his hand and for sure, guaranteed, 100%, I'm not going to come out hurt.
Amen.
Do you believe that? If you don't, God's not mad at you. He wants you to get to that point. He had to get me to that point. He had to bring me to the place where I finally gave up on trying to do it myself. It had to bring me to a place where I finally said, Lord, I'm so tired of this. I want out.
Yeah.
And until you want out, you'll stay in.
Yep.
Let his love drive you to him.
Right.
Brother, I'm
Amen.